House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 15th, 2016. It's the sixth day of the session. The current deadline before us is Thursday, February 18th, the last day for bills to be reported out of committee. Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Byrd. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem. Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds. Edwards. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman. Gay. Greer. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Yagi. Jennings. Kasparic. Kinner. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup. Paxton. Pelkey. Petrov. Pipirinen. Pinnell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, 60 present.
The prayer for today is offered by Pastor Roger Whitmore, representing Cheyenne Hills Church in Cheyenne.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we first want to give you thanks as we celebrate this President's Day for all of the presidents that you have set on their seat and have allowed them to really help to govern our country to bring us to this point today. And God, I am certainly honored to be in the presence of these representatives as they stand up for our state, for the constituents that they each represent. And I ask God for them as they get started this week that they would be productive. God, that you would grant them wisdom, that they would bring the kind of leadership that the government and our state certainly needs and certainly appreciates. So we thank you for each one of them and ask God that you would give them a blessed day. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
This morning, it's with great honor that I welcome U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis back to the Wyoming Legislature. Prior to being elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, she served 14 years in the Wyoming House and Senate and 8 years as Wyoming State Treasurer. She's currently serving her final year in Congress and is on the Committee on Natural Resources and Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, where she is chairman of the Subcommittee on Interior. Congressman Lummis continues to be involved in the operations of the Lummis Family Ranch located in Laramie County while proudly serving the residents of Wyoming. Please help me in welcoming home United States Representative Lummis.
May I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you for serving our beloved state. Each and every one of you has to get out on the campaign trail, meet your constituents, learn their concerns, communicate with them, stay in touch with them, attend their events, and are so important to relay their concerns, their messages, and what's in their hearts and souls here in the Wyoming Legislature. Such is also the case with your congressional delegation. We travel the state. We meet with your constituents, our constituents, try to learn what's in their heart and soul, what their core values are, and how we can best represent those core values in Washington. It's been particularly challenging during these past 8 years to convey the concerns that the people of Wyoming have about the national debt and the deficit, about erosion of the 10th Amendment rights of states to control their own destinies and to be the incubators of great new ideas. So many of the better ideas that Washington adopts were first experimented with at the state level. And when they were found to be successful, they percolated to the Congress to implement after the states had vetted and perfected those processes. The fact that Washington now thinks it should be the other way around is going to create tremendous problems for our country, because national experiments are far less effective than experiments that are handled locally. We know, because of our small population, that we are in a unique position to incubate better ideas. And let me, if I could, just mention a couple of those that are being discussed in Washington that I hope that you will consider. With regard to the management of public lands, we know that federal forests have been allowed to deteriorate to a condition where they are candidates for catastrophic wildfires. And there is talk in Washington, as well as in the states, about handing states either management or ownership of certain lands. Other concepts that are being discussed are the ideas of charter forests, which would be modeled after charter schools. So as you're deliberating these kinds of issues, consider whether that is something that Wyoming would be interested in. We do have one forest, the Black Hills, that has been managed well, partly because there remains a responsible, robust forest products company run by the Nyman family in that part of Wyoming and across the border in South Dakota. Because that forest has been responsibly managed and sustainably managed, it may be the healthiest forest we have in Wyoming right now. That might be a candidate for a charter forest designation. So if that concept is of any appeal to you, please consider it. Help me flesh out ideas that would work for you. When I look around this room, I see county commissioners, I see former county commissioners, I see former conservation district directors, and many other people who have hands-on experience with these kinds of issues, who might be able to help us flesh out opportunities that would protect and enhance the health and viability of our national forests going forward. The same is true with BLM lands. Obviously, with fully 30% of our nation being owned by the federal government and it being almost entirely in the West, we're in a unique position to weigh in on these issues. So if there were ways to transform the flexibility of FLTMA, the Federal Land Policy Management Act, of the National Forests Management Act, it's something that I would like to work on in my last 10 months in Congress and be able to hand a working document that doesn't dictate from the top down, but rather provides flexibility and opportunity that different states that are in different frames of minds in their thinking about the management of federal lands could take advantage of. For example, when I talk to representatives from Montana, Montana seems less inclined to the notion of taking state ownership over federal lands, but is more inclined towards looking at management. In Wyoming, I think it's kind of a mixed bag. There are some forests that, or BLM lands that the state might like to own, and others they might like to manage, and others that they might like to leave in the control of the federal government. Utah, on the other hand, is really ahead of other states in assessing the opportunity to acquire a large portion of their federal lands. But recall, two-thirds of the land in Utah is federal land, so they are very private land constrained in that state. Anyway, one size need not fit all. And to provide some flexibility in these federal laws that would allow states to maximize their extraordinary management capabilities is something that I would like to work on, and then hand discussion drafts to people who are staying in Congress after I choose to leave. So let me suggest that I'm asking for your help in vetting and discussing some of these ideas. I also want to tell you how difficult and challenging it was, but rewarding it was, to work with Senators Mike Enzi and John Barrasso to reclaim our abandoned mine land monies. It was an uphill battle from the very beginning. It required extraordinary efforts on our part. In my case, since the previous speaker was very unfriendly to the concept of returning this AML money to Wyoming, it required my involvement and efforts to find a successor for him and to help expedite the transition of power from the former speaker to the new speaker. I can tell you that that made a difference in our getting our AML money back in the House. And the better thing going forward is I truly believe that Paul Ryan has the potential to be a transformative speaker, maybe the best speaker this country has ever seen. His knowledge, his ideas, his demeanor, ability to share them, and his handling of himself and the people around him in a way that is respectful is such a breath of fresh air. The Congress that we left behind in 2015 was one of command and control, of reward and punishment, and both parties chose that means of trying to exercise leadership. That is not leadership. That is not leadership. Leadership is idea-based, is grassroots-driven, it's empowering people who are talented and capable and were elected by their constituents because their constituents recognize what they bring to the table. And that's what Wyoming does. And that's who you are. And empowering you is the way that this state has been so successful in dealing with challenges that are extraordinary. And you're entering one of those challenging periods now. The challenges you face are for some of you unprecedented. For others of you who've been here for a long time and have been through it before, it is a mantle that you hoped you wouldn't have to bear again. But through the strength of your character, the empowerment of your leadership, and the ideas that you bring to the fore, you will be able to guide our state through this extraordinarily difficult time. I have such confidence in you. I have confidence in you as individuals, and I have confidence in you as a state legislature, of which I am extraordinarily proud. You are the best of the best. God bless your work. Thank you for serving. Our state is better because you are in this room working for all of us. Mr. Speaker, gratefully and thankfully, I want to say it has been an honor, an absolute honor to serve Wyoming in Congress. But it was just as great an honor to serve in this body, which I will love all my life. Mr. Speaker, thank you. I yield back.
Thank you, Congressman Lemison. Thank you for all your years of service. Journal Committee Report. Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 12, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Schwartz and Steinmetz. The Doctor of the Day is Philip Eskew from Cheyenne. Nurse of the Day is Christine Colbrand, Weston County Health Services, Newcastle. Please welcome them to the House.
Mr. Speaker,
Representative Escobel.
Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
I want to recognize a former member of this body, mine and Stan's fellow brother railroader, Lee Filer, back in the fishbowl there.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I noticed in the aquarium back here, I got my trophy wife here from 38 years, and her name is Cheryl Madden, and you can give her a welcome.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Representative Kinner, are you sure you want to step in after that one?
Well, I need to after that, actually, because my wife is also in attendance, who grew up in Lusk, Wyoming, went to high school in Lusk, Wyoming, and lived in many other small communities around Wyoming. And I'd like you to welcome Tibby Kinner, my wife of almost 38 years. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Baldwin.
Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce in the fishbowl the mayor of Kemmerer, who traveled all the way over here today on good roads, I might add. Whether he'll get home or not, I don't know. But the mayor of Kemmerer, Mr. Zem Hopkins, is standing in the fishbowl today.
Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please.
Also back in the gallery here is a ex-member of this august body from Sweetwater County, Marty Martin.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Yes, please.
I was going to give everybody a quick reminder. Just remember when we have guests on the floor like Representative Lemus or if some of the senators come to speak to us, keep in mind to close up your laptops and let's give them our undivided attention because they have a tight schedule and what they have to say is I think is important to us all and I think they deserve our undivided attention and respect. So just a quick reminder on that. Thank you.
We're now at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. House Bill 1, the budget bill. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 1, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2016, and ending June 30th, 2018.
House budget bill is assigned to Committee of the Whole. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 19, Statewide Student Assessment, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 80, Community College Budget Request Recalibration, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kinner, Locks, Madden, Wilson. One no vote, Representative Reeder, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution 3, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Kinner, Lauchs, Madden, and Wilson. Those who voted no, Representative Edwards, Jennings, and Reeder, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 84, Catering Permits, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom it referred House Bill 57, Upper Payment Limit Program-Private Hospitals, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Harvey, Larson, Schwartz, Wilson. Two no votes, Representative Edmonds and Kasparik, signed by Representative Larson, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 74, Upper Payment Limit Program - Public Nursing Homes, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Harvey, Larson, Schwartz, Wilson. Those who voted no, Representative Edmonds and Kasparik, signed by Representative Larson, Vice Chairman.
Are there any re-referrals? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Well, you got your voice back, huh?
Most of it, yes. Thank you. I respectfully request a re-referral for House Bill 57 to your committee, number 2, Appropriations, and House Bill 74 also to Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bills 57 and 74 are re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 36.
House Bill 36 from Representative McKim, an act relating to livestock dealers.
House Bill 36 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 46.
House Bill 46 from Appropriations, an act relating to workers' compensation.
House Bill 46 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 59.
House Bill 59 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to health care.
There is an amendment. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 59 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to turn to page 2 of House Bill 59, lines 6 through 13, in standing committee, we amended out quite a bit of language out of this bill because there was concerns. 102 is inadvertently added into that. This has a broader reference than just the language that was eliminated, and so the standing committee amendment. We'd like to amend that to bring back into it the definition of private health insurance, which includes dental. And like I said, this has a much broader implications to the statute without it than it did with the things that we wanted to take out, which had to do with the children's health program. So if with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to take any questions. Thank you.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just urge the body to support this amendment. What this does is this was the addition of dental to the private health insurance plan that's required under Medicaid. We've been paying for the dental provision of this insurance, but we were out of compliance in the state statutes, and it just got hung up. So I'd encourage you to support that amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Question being called. All in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 59, signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 59 has passed. We're back on the bill. House Bill 59 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. We're now in that order of business of bills on third and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 2. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 2 from Revenue, an act relating to motor vehicles, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 2 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 14 no.
House Bill 2, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 2 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 8 from Representative Madden, an act relating to taxation and revenue, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 8, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings. Kasparik. Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no.
House Bill 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 8 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10. The reading clerk will read the bill.
An act relating to the State Water Pollution Control Revolving Loan Account, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 10, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim, McKim, Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
McKim. McKim.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no.
House Bill 10, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 10 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 16 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to administration of government, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 16 and would ask for its favorable introduction. I spent this weekend started to think how this bill was going to work in actuality. Many of you know I was a former executive branch employee. I don't admit that very often. But when I really thought about how it would work, I just don't think the bill in its current form does anything and doesn't do what we want it to do. And so my first thought was to do a delete the enacting, but I thought, you know, I'm going to try to make the bill better, and this does make it a little bit more expansive. But as I started thinking about what an agency would actually do in the real world, of their federal funds were cut, and most of you know federal funds are almost in all cases attached to state funds. They're usually in some type of a match, 50-50, 80-20, 90-10. So if a state agency got their federal funds diminished, what would they say if under this bill they can't say we want state funds? They would just say, well, we're going to do away with the program. Or we're going to diminish our state share of our match appropriately. There's really no other information that we can gather because unless they're going to say we're going to apply for a grant from the federal government or go tax cities or something, there's really no other option for them to give us any more information. And so what this bill does, and what I think the intent of the bill was really to help this legislature under the Appropriations Committee get a better idea of an agency budget. So we want to know, you know, what their first 10% they'd cut, which part of the agency they would cut if they had to. We did put the amendment in already that said this information is confidential. And so what I'm trying to do is add the word state general funds into the statute as well. So not only do we know what they would cut if we had a federal cut, if they had a state general fund cut of 10%, where would the agency say, hey, what can we get rid of if we had a 10% cut? I didn't want to make it any more expansive than that. A lot of these agencies have special revenue funds. You're all familiar with your own agencies. I didn't want them to have to go through every fund they had and say, here's where we'd cut if our revenue went down, because in a lot of cases, those special revenue funds, they fluctuate greatly from year to year. But just in the general fund appropriation that an agency gets, if we continue to have drastic times and the budget continues to go down, I think it's good information for this body to know of. Where they would cut 10% if their general fund appropriation was cut. And so as you read through the amendment, it really the meat of the amendment is on page 2. It just adds the word state general funds alongside the federal funds. If they had a 10% cut in their state general fund, where they would take this reduction. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'd ask the body to reject this amendment. And I understand where the good representative's coming from in drafting this amendment. This is already part of the process that happens with the Appropriations Committee. This is something that's already vetted as far as, I mean, that is the Appropriation Committee's job, is to vet these state general funds. I understand the argument that maybe this is not going to be something that actually reaches out and does something, but with the federal funds. But it's a reporting feature that we've never had before without digging through individual budgets, and it provides a value-added benefit towards the governor and towards the JAC on that. And I really don't think that this expands on anything besides what the Joint Appropriations Committee already does, and we already see it in our budget. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the bill, but opposed to this amendment. And just like the previous speaker said, JCR is already looking at the issues with the general funds. The idea of the bill is to put a planning mechanism in place for when we see a reduction in general funds. And so having been here now for 6 years, we see these comments all the time. Well, they're general funds. or excuse me, they're federal funds. So it's okay. We'll go ahead and put that in the budget. They're federal funds. Somebody else is paying the way, so the program gets moved down the road. Well, this particular year on JAC, we have seen the impact of where we've had federal funds and where those federal funds have gone away and where the states had additional revenues in the past. And we said, this program will continue, and we've just backfilled with general funds. Well, I think we're seeing an end to those times. And so when this bill came along and I looked at it, I thought it was a great idea, except I really wanted some more teeth in it. One of my feelings was is maybe we have a cut of more than 10% in federal funds that the whole program has to come back in front of the body to be reauthorized. But the mechanics of that were a little difficult to get in place. And so what the bringer of this bill has given us is just a mechanism to say when those federal funds are going away or if those federal funds go away, we've got to have a plan in place. And that plan may be the program gets cut. Or it may be a reprioritization within the agency of where they're going to spend their funds. And so this amendment waters it down and I think is an attempt to kill the bill, quite frankly. So I would encourage you to vote against the amendments and in favor of the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the spirit of the bill. Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the spirit of the amendment. It probably is a challenge in the amendment. It should be and instead of or, where the new language is being inserted. Folks, we're going to have a lot of discussion about budget. What's occurring right now is we are proportionally becoming more dependent on federal funds, because the only funds we're actually cutting out of our budget are general funds. So if we actually had an honest conversation about cutting programs and our budget and our dependence on the taxpayers' money, both what is generated in the state of Wyoming and what we receive in federal funds, this would be tied together. And every time we had a general fund reduction, we would see what commensurate federal funds are receiving, and we would say maybe we shouldn't be taking as many of those dollars because we are actually breeding a dependence on federal dollars. And our current budget, I would argue, does that in and of itself with that proportionality issue. So whether you like the amendment or not, you like the bill or not, this does bring up a very good conversation about how we are utilizing and depending on federal funds and how that is actually being magnified with general fund budget cuts. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman's wanted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Couple things. You know, I've been here 12 years, and I guess how I feel appropriations works was drastically different than what I just heard from the Appropriations Committee. But a couple of things. A, Appropriations Committee is a very public. They have agencies come before them in a public fashion, and so I've never heard an agency come before them and say, here's where we'd cut 10%. Maybe in callbacks and closed-door meetings they do that, but certainly the rest of this body doesn't know where those cuts should be. And I guess I trust my Appropriations Committee generally to make those, but at the same time I'm also a resident of this county and have lots of friends and acquaintances throughout state government who can easily tell me where the cuts should be that the agency directors generally won't admit to. And I thought I was honest on my first speech that I don't think this bill does anything in its current form. And so I would ask you to vote no on the bill if the amendment doesn't pass. If you have a reduction, and I never heard anybody answer the question, if we have a reduction in federal funds and you can't ask for state funds to supplant it, what are we asking them to tell us? Just that they're going to take away the federal funds and we'll take away our state match. And I don't know how that would impact the rest of the budget of that agency with their general funds unless this amendment passes, because it would be a federal fund match, and they're not going to say we're going to – I just don't understand. If you really think about how this works in the executive branch, what we're asking an agency to do, and maybe it's as simple as one sentence saying, you know, we're going to cut the program or we're going to reduce our match. But I don't think that gives this body – any more information than we already had. With the amendment, I think it gives us a lot more information. This body then has access to saying, you know, what 10% of an agency does the agency think could go first? And maybe appropriations really does have all that information, and I've just never heard about it in 12 years, but I don't think they asked that question, and I don't think they know the answer. This year, I really don't think they know the answer, because I've read through the budgets, and we're just saying, hey, we're cutting 1% across the board, and then we're going to give the governor authority to put it back, you know, where we may mess up or where we may cut too deep. And so I think if this body and the Appropriations Committee had a better understanding of where each agency thought 10% of the general fund could be cut, that would give us more information, and information is power. So I'd ask you to vote for the amendment, and if not, I'd ask you to vote against the bill.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 16. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 16 has failed. House Bill 16 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The reading clerk will call, or the chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin. Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Blake, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 7 no.
House Bill 16, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 16 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 28. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 28 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to the Municipal Solid Waste Facility Cease and Transfer Program, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 28 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen,
aye.
Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
excused.
Baldwin excused, Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik, Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 28, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 28 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 32 from Corporations, an act relating to insurance regulation, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 32, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petrov. Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 53 aye, 7 no.
House Bill 32, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 32 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 38 from Judiciary Committee, an act relating to offenses against property, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 38, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Yagi, aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Piperinen, Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Larson Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 55 aye, 5 no.
House Bill 38, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 38 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 66. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 66 from Representative Blake, an act relating to motor vehicles, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 66, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger, Blackburn, Blackburn, Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik, Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff. Piperinen.
Aye.
Pennell. Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stepson.
Aye.
Throne. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no.
House Bill 66, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 66 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 67. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 67 from Representative Edwards, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 67, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer, Halverson,
aye.
Arshman,
aye.
Harvey, Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Greer, okay. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Larson Lloyd, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no.
House Bill 67, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 67 has passed the House. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider only the Budget Bill, House Bill 1.
If you heard the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Lindholm. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 001 from Finance, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2016 and ending June 30th, 2018.
Please exit to the, follow the staff to exits, please.
Mr. Chairman.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
We're ready to start on House Bill 1.
The committee will come to order. Chairman Harshman, what's your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move House Bill 1. And members, as we get started, there's a couple handouts in your drawer. I think you have the summary sheets on legal paper, landscape format. But then there's another, just 8.5 by 11, says Appendix A at the top, has my initials in 37. If you could find that, because we're going to work off this appendix handout initially. That was delivered earlier this morning, so I'll wait till everybody gets that. It's probably 12 pages or so. I'd like to thank the speaker for that little break, a little fresh air. Appreciate the timing of that. Probably good timing. The good chairman of Judiciary said I should come up and just ask if you all agree. Take the vote. Okay, I think everybody's found that, just kind of looking. Okay, so I just want to make sure we got everything. Okay, so, Mr. Chairman and members, if you would look on that first Appendix A, and I just want to talk about, as we left here 1 year ago, and part of the supplemental budget bill on for the 15-16 budget was some tranche contingent appropriations. So you can see the first tranche were fully funded immediately, effective immediately, and you can see those list of priorities that we approved. Then you can see the second tranche was fully funded July 1st when the fiscal year ended, fiscal year 15, $113 million. There's a little, you can see at the bottom of each one of those columns the where the appropriation, where the money came from, the revenue, and then a little bit of carryover on the bottom of those. And then the third one is contingent on this current fiscal year, which will end June 30th, 2016. And I would just tell you, it looks like none of those will be funded, just our current returns on investment. You know, if we had a tremendous, and that's that third column, okay, and that totals, I think, $162 million. And you see the first one is a capital payment and then surface transportation passing lanes. Can you hear me all right? Can you hear me? Okay. I don't want to be, if I'm too loud, too, because I'm okay there, so... But it doesn't look like our current investment revenue, with only 5 months remaining now in this fiscal year, is going to be adequate to fund any of those. But if it did, it would just go down that list, you remember, from capital payment to passing lanes and so on. But again, it doesn't look great. If you can flip over now to page 2 or Appendix B, there's really two pages to this appendix. And if you look, this is the spot prices for Cushing. Oklahoma, Wyoming oil gets shipped there primarily. Now, those dotted lines kind of in the middle of the chart are the week that we left last year. And we had some of you might recall, we had some of the best experts in the industry come and testify to our committee. They said that this dip in oil about when we were here, you can see when we were here, that prices would rebound in the summer and stabilize at that $60 to $65 a barrel area. Well, you can see the rebound that occurred in the summer, right at $60 a barrel. And I tell you this because that's when really budget development starts in the executive branch. They don't do the budget in December just before we get here. That starts in June, and it starts through all the agencies. And so as all of our budgets, we work off projections. I mean, I think every budget for every public institution in America works off projections. And you'll recall some of our debates last year for growing the LSRA would be to double it and go to a cash basis. Of course, that'll be a discussion for future legislatures at the next boom. And but so that's what happened there. So then you can see, and then just remember that, you know, every I think it's every $5 drop in the price of oil is $20 million to the state coffers. And so you can see that drop from 60 to 40, then in a couple months, you can see that drop, right, of $20. So you're talking $80 million, and then it further drops. And then I want to introduce this as timing. So if you flip over to the second page of Appendix B, natural gas spot prices, the week we left. And, you know, gas is even more volatile, and we've every dollar per MCF is $100 million to the general fund. That doesn't even count the school side, you know, how important FMRs are to K-12 funding. We'll talk about K-12 funding tomorrow. But I just want to kind of give you an idea how this timing all comes together. So the governor then starts putting his budget together last summer. And then in the fall, that is primarily complete. And then October, Craig meets. And if you'll flip over to page 4, Appendix C, you can see after those oil shocks in late August and September, they downgrade revenue significantly. And you can see the columns on page 4, Appendix C, for this current fiscal year that will end on June 30th. You can see general fund, $84 million reduction. Budget reserve, $102 million, for a total then of $186 million in the current fiscal year with about 8 months left in the fiscal year. So then the governor immediately invokes a hiring freeze. He went in and grabbed money that wasn't spent yet in agencies. The hiring freeze was probably the biggest. Went into the statutory reserve and then also stopped transfers to the school foundation reserve account, to the state health facilities account, and to water accounts. And so he stopped those transfers to meet this shortfall. You can further see the Craig estimate for 17-18, fiscal year 7. This is what this budget reflects, the current budget. So $207 million in 17 and $223 million in 18. And you can see the total for $617 million. So then on December 1st, if you flip over to page 5, you'll see the standard chart. And so the governor then introduces his budget proposal. And the governor then called for spending $465 million. I'll round these numbers a little bit, but from the LSRA. And this is really the payback plan. And you can see it there. And so that thicker arrow that comes from the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund, that would represent the 1% statutory severance tax. And I won't go into all this, but our constitutional levels are 1.5% of the 6% oil and gas, and then, of course, gravel and uranium, all that's in there. And then coal is taxed at 7% severance, and that constitutional amount is 1.5% of the 7%. And then for the last 12 years or so, we've done this in other times when we've had boom times, we've taken what's called the 1% of the statutory severance and diverted it to the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund. That was part of you guys, there's a few of you here, when we talk about the 4x10 plan and trying to double the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund by 2010 from $2 billion to $4 billion, and that was part of that plan. And then we talked further about going, you know, 2010 came and gone pretty quickly. And back when it was 2005, folks who are sitting in these seats never thought that would ever happen. But now we're trying to double again by 2018. And $8 billion by 2018, and we're very close. So what that means is when I first came to the legislature, we have $50 million from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. That's all that went to the general fund. This last year, we got $500 million. And you talk about a permanent hedge against tax increases. I think that's been a tremendous, tremendous thing we did. And some of those arguments back then are the same arguments we'll have today. I mean, how can you stuff the mattress and save all that money when we have all these people out there, all these things we could be doing? And you've kind of heard these same arguments. How can you have these projects now out there and we've got all these other issues? But I would submit to you that everything we do here is about people. Whether we save the people's money or we build a building that serves people. And so we'll have those debates, and rightfully so. But anyway, just to get back to page 5, Appendix D, this shows in the sweep of that 1% statutory, and then it also shows the payment of the SIPA. And you'll remember in Senate File 46, we set up a permanent SIPA and a permanent LSRA funding plan with what we call the last 2.5% of the spending policy amount. So the first 2.5% we're going to guarantee now. We're going to profile, and we guarantee it with a reserve account. And if we make the full 5%, it's divided 1.25, 1.25 to fill up the LSRA and the SIPA. I know I'm talking a lot, and some of you live this in some of your committees, some of you don't, but the bottom line is the SIPA was swept in to repay the LSRA as well as the 1% statutory severance tax. So that's that plan. Okay, and so that's Appendix D. If you turn to Appendix E, so we begin our hearings on Pearl Harbor Day on December 7th. We welcome the governor and took a moment to recognize that historic event. It fell on the first day of budget hearings, and then so we did 2 weeks of hearings, and then we come back in January. And we require then that Craig meet in January to give us the most updated revenue picture before we begin the session and start budgeting. And so they meet every January, every October and every January. Okay, so in those few months from October to January, you can see the changes on Appendix E. And so the January Craig reduces the current year, fiscal year, by another $32 million. And so now we're over $200 million for this current fiscal year that we're in. I mentioned the measures that the governor took. The biggest of all was the hiring freeze. Okay, and then in 17, a reduction of another $32 million, and in 18, another reduction of $14 million. And then I think as much as anything is this cautionary language that's in bold underneath there. And I won't read that to you, but we're in kind of an interesting time. And so the Craig is being very cautious. And the Craig is generally conservative, but they're very close. And their predictions have been very accurate and very close. Okay, so we begin that then January. And we start again in January with 2 weeks and a couple days also in February. So if you'd flip over to the next page, Appendix F, and it talks about AML funds. So we started, you can see the first paragraph. It says President Obama signs the FAST Act. That's on December 4th. The original plan that these monies would arrive to Wyoming in our checking account. They weren't going to be the usual apply for reimbursement after you finish the project. They were supposed to arrive originally. Well, bureaucracies in the federal government interpret that no, it's still the same plan. It's on a reimbursement basis. So that was the first thing. And then, so we started again on January 11th with our second round of agency hearings. And then you'll see the second paragraph on January 12th, Tuesday, January 12th. The U.S. House voted down an amendment that would redirect our AML funds to Appalachia for economic development. You can see the vote. I think it's 16 votes. It failed in the U.S. House. Okay? And then on February 3rd, you can see, and this is still pending legislation, and I think if you read the first sentence, I think is very important. The U.S. House Appropriations Committee Chairman, so this is the majority. This is the chairman of the House committee from Kentucky. And that legislation is still pending. Okay, so all this is kind of feeds into some of our decision-making as well and how we've run these budget bills. Okay, so next I just want to talk to you about our hearings. I think the good representative from Cheyenne, who sat through basically every day of it, many of you, I understand, listened. I think I sent you an email on December 2nd directing you where you could find the specific agency units in the Department of A&I, the agency budgets, and also the web link where you could listen in. I know many of you listened in to agencies that you were particularly interested in. And those of you that listened in and that attended, the process goes like this. We start with Agency 1, which is the governor's budget, and we start on page 1. And I'll just tell you, It's not. I've been on that committee 10 years. Not every year it's been done like that. And I think more recently, it used to be you'd look at exception requests only. How did the standard budget change? What are the requests? Well, last several years, we've been going page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and we go through each unit then of the budget. And each one of those has expense orgs, expense organizations, and we call them e-orgs or expense orgs, and we go through each one of those. So some of these cuts were, you know, $400 from an expense org, some of the changes we made. So you won't see any of that in the budget bill or the summary sheet because it's all at the division level. And that's the way this we appropriate at the division level. But when we work the budgets, we work them at the what's called the unit level. And then within those units are expense organizations. Okay, and so we work right down through that. When we finish agency one, we go to agency two. And we start agency two, page one, page two, page three, and we flip page by page. And so that's how that goes. These are long days, and it's just that's what it is. It's just a grind. And we've tried to recently really work long days, kind of Monday through Thursday, try to knock out about 2 o'clock on Friday so members who are going home can go home. But many of these days are 10, 12-hour days, and it's just a grind, and it is what it is, and you just work the budgets. Okay, I think the next piece is really then after we've done all the agency hearings, and we do that for basically 3 weeks, and each agency comes in numerical order, we'll have an opportunity then to have what we call callbacks. So you got 12 people on the committee, 7 House members, 5 senators, and some of us are electronic, so we're sitting there typing notes while agencies testify and asking questions. Other members are writing notes, and they'll stick tabs and have their own system, but everybody has their own system on that. We examine all the 600 and 900 series specifically, and those are special reports that have to come on who each agency is contracting with, how much they paid to that contract, and what it's for. So as we go through that, then we get these callbacks for any other questions. And I just open it up to members of the committee. I say, if there's anybody you want to hear from, make sure and tell our staff so we get them back in front of us. And I'll just tell you, the old days, it used to be the chairman stood up here for a week and explained the budget. And the rest of the members, I used to be one of those members. I know the majority floor leader used to be one of those members. Basically could catch up on your email or do some other work. I mean, that's a fact because it was the chairman ran it, and the chairman was the only one who had a summary sheet. Nobody had the information. I tell you what, it's too big a deal for one person, in my opinion. So it's a total team effort, and we divide these up kind of – each of us got we have a major agency. I'll talk to you about it. There's really 5 big agencies in state government that take up 80% of the funding. The 5, it's really the big one and the 4 mid-majors. I call them the big 5, but really it's the big gorilla and then 4 other larger ones. But so anyway, back to my story. We get back to callbacks. So anybody that calls back. And then once we've gotten all our questions answered, we begin in the process of what's called the markup. And literally we start on agency 1 and the governor. He's agency 1, and we go page 1. And like the governor's, the first division in the governor is administration. Well, there's 6 units in there. So say unit 101, governor's rec. That's the rec that's on the table. And then members will say, Mr. Chairman, or time out. And then they'll make a motion to that unit. And then we'll debate the motion, make the changes. And we do that through every unit. Then we motion to close agency 1. We take a roll call vote on that. And it actually has to pass a majority of the members in the room at that point. I'll be honest with you, we didn't do many house cram downs this year, what I call it. There's 7 of us, 5 of them. 2 years ago, we did a few cram downs, and I'm proud of it. We were right. But in the end, it has to be a majority of both sides approve the budget. So that's how that goes. So we mark it all up. Then when we finish all the markups, we still have one more opportunity. We say we're going to have any opportunity, if we got any new information, to go back. And we do this as a courtesy to members. They'll say, we'll just start. Are there any callbacks, agent, or any, does anybody wish to reopen Agency 1, Agency 2? And if I'm chairing that day, I just kind of go in this methodical thing until somebody says, time out, or Mr. Chairman, I move to open Agency 4. And it has to have a second, has to have affirmative vote. And then we reopen it and correct a mistake we made or those kind of things. And so that's that final process. And then we finish that up, go through the work, and you'll see then really the summary is on these sheets. Really summarizes everything we did, hundreds of hours of testimony into these pages. Now, part of this story, too, though, is the last week of our deliberations. And you'll turn to page 8, if you would, on Appendix G, and these are the governor's letters. Now, the governor's letters are just like any other request that's already in the budget, but these come separate. And there were 22 governor's letters, and you can see the list of them. Now, you can look at the total additional amount. It says $304 million. I'll be fair to say the governor brought $304 million extra in governor's letters, and I would say no. And really, if you look at the big gorillas there, it's governor's letter 3, $165 million are AML dollars. Those weren't available in his original budget, so he proposed how to spend those. I would say governor's letter 2, though, which we rejected, was $105 million spending out of the reserve account to guarantee the contingent funding in the 16 budget. We denied that. Those are the two biggest ones. You can see Governor's Letter 13, $33 million for local CAPCON. That has never been requested by local governments. They focused only on operational funding, so that we rejected that. And then, so those were the big ones. That was the lion's share of that. So we dealt with those governor's letters. Okay, so once we get it, we open the budget, really the first motion, because the governor, there's one, you know, he can profile from a few accounts, but one that he can profile from is the LSRA. And so there were several items throughout all the budgets that were funded out of the LSRA. So the first thing we did is make a motion that, a global motion across the entire budget, that anything funded from the LSRA is now general fund. And what that did is give us one bottom line. So we're not working off two bottom lines. And so then the bottom line is about $465 million that we got to figure out how to pay for. Okay? Now, so that's the first kind of over global, we call these global motions that affect every budget. If you turn to page 9, Appendix H, and I think even if you wanted to take this out of your packet, but we're going to use Appendix H a lot in our presentations today. And these are a summary of these global motions, and we really had four of these. You can see the first one is the penny plan. Now, the penny plan is just what it says. For every dollar that your agency was appropriated, you'll have 99 cents next year. So it's a 1% reduction across the board. And then in the second year of the budget, we budget for 2 years, it's two pennies. So if you had a dollar this year in 16, you'll have 99 cents. And the idea is that, you know, most agency directors will say, I can do that. And most of us in our household would probably say, yeah, I can figure that out. And then the second year, we've gotten used to getting by on 99 cents. We're going to further drop down to 98 cents. And so I've been a part of budgets where we've had 8% cuts, you know, and have these sharp cliffs. What we're trying to do is do this slow, gradual drawdown. So that's one of the global motions that we made. You can see the summary to each agency in Appendix H. The next thing we did, the next motions were on in-state and out-of-state travel. Simple cuts to those budgets by 10%. In austere times, you take less trips. Okay? We reduced the reimbursement on permanently assigned vehicles by 2.5%. If an agency has a vehicle in Evanston or Cody or Sundance, far reaches the state, they have to pay a certain amount back to A&I for the use of that. And we reduced that amount. It's a small reduction, but that's, you can see the totals on the second part of that page. Finally, you'll see the 5% and the 901 series. These are ongoing. These are contracts that each agency signs with people or corporations to do work of the agency. We reduce those by 5%. You can see the total to the right in each agency. And then you can, if you flip to page 2, you can see the total reductions of these global motions was just under $38 million. Okay? With the penny plan by far being the largest part of that reduction. The other piece of this is that we reduced positions. Nearly 80 funded positions. So if you turn to page 11, which is Appendix I, and I think members will be referring to this H, Appendix H and Appendix I throughout their budget presentations. Now, on your summary sheet, it identifies the position by position number. Keep in mind, this is not an official document. So in the budget bill, it does not identify the position. We were told by our House attorneys that to avoid a, we had any actions, we were always advised whether it was green, yellow, or red light on, and for us to tell the executive branch exactly what position was probably getting pinkish. I don't know if it was red, yellow, but it's somewhere probably. And so we use these on the summary sheet to identify a dollar amount. These are all open positions, and most of them vacant 6 months or longer. Okay, and so that's where those reductions. So you'll see the amounts on the summary sheet. You won't see them, or you won't, or you'll see the specific position, but you won't see the specific position on this Appendix I. Okay, and I think that about has, and I guess I would just conclude, Mr. Chairman and members, again, 80% of the budget, the standard budget over 2 years, are in these big five agencies that I referenced, and I'll just read these to you. So $2.86 billion standard budget for 2 years. Doesn't count the legislative branch or the judicial branch or our ETS budget, which is zero-based every year. So $2.86 billion standard budget. So if you just looked at it in a one-year total, so that'd be $1.43 billion in general funds per year. Okay, 80% of that, or 80%, about $1.13 billion comes from these agencies. Health, $500 million roughly, just under that. Okay, University of Wyoming, $220 million. Corrections, $146 million. Family Services, $135 million. And Community Colleges, $133 million. So it's kind of the big one and the four mid-majors, but these are the biggest five agencies that are appropriated basically 80% of our general funds. Finally, I guess, Mr. Chairman and members, I would say this is very much a team effort. Of course, starts with the governor's staff and then the 12 committee members. We have a staff of 3 in LSO Fiscal. We're actually funded for 4. One of those members left to join the executive branch. So we've had 3 full-timers and our 2 secretaries. And our secretaries do different work than other committee secretaries. One is always typing and indexing all the testimony because our committees record and index forever. So if you want to go back and listen to any of this testimony, you can go right on the LSO website. Find the agency you want to listen to, and you can listen to those. And we record that because there's always questions. We might say that it was $50,000 reduction, and the agency says, no, it was only $42,000. And we'll go back and actually have an – obviously, that's kind of a – but there's some close ones that did he say that or did he not say that? And so we have to go back and listen, and that's why it's recorded. But our secretaries work very hard, and then the other are indexing all these handouts. And we've tried to get all this stuff is on SharePoint available to you, and it comes in paper copies as well. So I would say that, you know, these 12 committee members, our 3 staff, our 2 secretaries, and some members of the governor's branch, probably a select few of a couple dozen people that check oil prices every day, natural gas prices every day, and the stock market every day, and wonder how that and realize how that affects Wyoming's budget. It's a weirdness that overtakes you. And so those of you who want to be on this committee, be careful what you wish for. But I would say that the members of this committee are just like you. We love Wyoming. We have done our level best, I think, to bring in a forward-looking and a sound budget for this precious state, and that's what it's all about. Now, we're going to disagree. You're going to make amendments to the budget. We're going to try to defend our bill. But the bottom line, I really appreciate the work of the committee members and our staff. It's been a really interesting time, and I think we've done our level best. And so we look forward to working with you, probably arguing against you on most amendments, like anybody would with their bill, and appreciate the body's will to make the budget even better for this state that we love. Okay, so how this works, and we've divided our committee, these agencies. So, like, the big one today, I think, is Agency 6, A and I. Probably take the longest to explain, and we'll get through health, I hope, Agency 48. That'll take a while to explain. A and I, representative from Cheyenne has that. Health, representative from Casper has that. I just have the first four right now. So I've been yapping here for about forever. Longest 15 seconds of my life, brother. I'll tell you that, brothers and sisters.
Time.
Thank you. That's a friendly reprimand. So we've got the first agency, and so how this will work, and I guess the last thing I need to explain, so we kind of all know the rules of the road. If you look at your summary sheet, okay, and so our members then will go over this with you, and they'll say page one of your summary sheet, page five of your bill, Office of the Governor, move to open, section one, Office of the Governor. And so that's how we'll go, and then we'll explain that and take you through it, and then we'll answer any questions. And then there's a motion to close, right? And that's just a voice vote, motion to close by the chairman, and then we'll vote on it, and we'll close that motion, or close that unit, that agency, I should say. Okay, but talking about this summary sheet, it's basically three columns. And so if you look, it says revised govs recs, and the first column's got boxes around it. Now, when that says revised, that's his revisions, not our revisions. Revised govs rec, he owns all this, and revised by his 22 letters. Okay, that's what that refers to. Then if you look in the second kind of column, which has above, it says JEC changes. Now, you can see in each of these boxes as GF for general fund, FF for federal fund, and then OF for other funds, and then the total. And then you can see what's in the 2016 budget bill before you of all those funds and the total. So you can quickly look at the governor's agency one. I circled them here. You can see the total, the bottom, $39.483 million, the governor's revised recs. You can see our actions cut $3 million, $80,000 from that total. So you can see the budget bill before you as $36,400,000 in the gov's rec, or I mean in the JEC bill. So governor, JEC changes, our bill, the legislature's bill. Does that make sense? So what I've done on every one of these, I just quickly, when we flip over a new page, I just circle those three totals for the first thing so I can quickly find them, okay, as you go through those. Now, when you look at authorized employees, I mentioned about 80 employees, vacant positions reduced. This does not show AWACS, okay? Those are funded differently, but we reduced some AWAC positions, and certainly does not show contract employees out of the 900 series. I'll just tell you, for example, the literacy program that was eliminated. There was one employee, that is the one employee that was not a vacant position. But you'll hear members probably that will say there were 38 positions people are going to lose their jobs, and those are contract employees at those eight sites. Okay, so you know, you'll hear us say different things, but just so to be clear, there's more than just our state-funded positions. There are also AWACS and then these contract employees who are private organizations running these operations for the state. Okay? Okay, so maybe we can knock this one out in 5 minutes before we go. Is that okay, Ms. Chairman? Or do we want to?
Please do.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman and members, on page 5 of your budget bill, page 1 of your summary sheet, I'd move section 1, Office of the Governor. Now, members, I'll work off the summary sheet. If you look on the first program underneath Office of the Governor, it says Administration. And there are 1, 2, 3, you can see eight items below that deal with the Division of Administration. Now, this is a upper-level view in the budget bill. See, there are 7 units in administration that we dealt with. You see those 7 combined now into administration, okay, for the budget bill. So these 8 things, then, are just items for you to look at and summaries of our actions. That is not to be confused with footnotes that are in the budget bill. These are items of summary. These 3 footnotes in the governor's have the effect of law. Okay? So, Mr. Chairman, so 1 through 8 deal with the governor's Office of Division of Administration. And you can just look, the first item there on your summary sheet, we denied governor's letter number 9, where he requested $250,000 for the LSRA for participation in a Wyoming high school's first robotics competition, new program, and your committee did not adopt that. Number 2 is a position elimination, and you can see that number of the position and the amount. Again, you will not see that numbered position in the budget bill. Okay, number 3 and number 4 are both what we call these global reductions. So where you see it say 1.5%, that's the penny plan, 1% in 17, 2% in 18. So on line number 3, it says JAC reduced 118,243 general fund represents 1.5%. And then you can see in the parentheses, 1% fiscal year 17, 2% in 18. So that's that global penny plan. You'll see these in nearly every budget. So we'll go kind of slow this first one. You're going to pick up the pace and say, all right, hurry up. I got it. You know what I mean? Once we get rolling here. So 3 is a global motion. 4 is also the global motions on travel and permanently assigned vehicles. 3 and 4 are those reductions. Okay, number 5, 6, 7, and 8, the rest of these are just other actions that we took. We adopted the governor's recommendation for $10,700 in computer equipment. Of course, we changed all the funding from LSRA to general fund. Number 7, we adopted governor's letter 6 to extend and this is a significant action, the value-added energy and industrial plan. This is what we had in the budget last year, section 303. And, you know, it's that whole value-added energy proposal, much of it in Campbell County, the lion's share of that. And so this $17,275,000 was that appropriation a year ago, where we pulled all these items that were scattered through the budget into one area, section 303. And this is simply carrying that over, extending the time for that. Okay, so that was significant. And then we denied item number 8 there, you see. We denied governor's letter 19 for $500,000 from the LSRA for energy strategy initiatives. We've already gone through some energy policy. We just figured we didn't want to pay $500,000 for another study. And we'll certainly stand for any questions on that. The next division, if you look up above, is tribal liaison. And it has 2 items, number 9 and number 10. Okay, number 9 is probably the most significant. It has the first footnote in the governor's budget. We reduced his recommendation by $200,000. And it was $400,000 for the biennium. We reduced it to $200,000 for the tribal liaison funding. And we added a footnote specifying that it's 1-year funding pending satisfaction reporting requirements, and adding the provision that this appropriation not be included in the carryover for the 17-18 budget. That number then will be further reduced by a global motion later. I think that number stands now at $190,000. Okay. And so that, yeah, there it is actually below it. 9 and 10 are actually related there. So 10 is that global motion that reduced that 901 contract expenditure. Okay?
Now, line number 11, another division in the governor's office, Commission on Uniform Laws. 11 is a global motion, the penny plan, a reduction to that division. The special contingencies on 12, or have lines 12, 13, and 14, some summaries there. Line 12 is just the penny plan, okay, which has a reduction of $4,725. Line 13, we denied the governor's recommendation of $344,000 LSRA for additional emergency response funding, but we allowed in line 14 the carryover of current appropriations, allow up to $1 million of unexpended, unobligated special contingency funds. There's a little bit over $1 million in that account. And so with the testimony we heard, we thought it prudent to deny that. And then we actually carried it over and put it in the Section 303 of the budget. Okay, next is Clean Coal Technology is a division in the governor's office. You can see it's $25,000 originally. And we have the global reductions to that standard budget of lines 15 and 16. One was the penny plan. The other is the contract services 901. It reduced that budget then from $25,000 to $23,375. Okay. Next is the next division in the governor's office is Homeland Security, and notes 17, 18, 19, and 20. And you can see up above, they're typed right next to it. And so you can just see how that follows down to the bottom of the page. So 17, we reduced the governor's rec for $513,000 disaster contingency. By $256,000, leaving that $256,000, and we changed the course to general funding. Number 18 is a global reduction, the penny plan, reduced $41,000 from Homeland Security. And then 19 is actually the second footnote in the governor's budget, and it reduced the Lifesaver program. Had $125,000 in the budget, and we reduced it by $50,000 and also specify that it be one-time funding. So these next 2 years would be the last 2 years of state-funded funding that program. And then Homeland Security also has one more note, carries over to the top of page 2 of your summary sheet, and that line 20 is the other global reduction of travel and professional services, $19,192 reduction. The next division in the governor's office is Natural Resources Policy Account, and it's lines 21 and 22. 21 is a significant action, and we adopted the gov's rec of $1 million to replenish the FNRPA account, and we changed the funding from LSRA to general fund. Line 22, we added the third footnote, and I believe the final footnote, directing the state auditor to deposit the FNRPA account into Fund 35. This is an accounting issue, and we do this every year with this federal natural resource policy account money. Okay. Next is the next division is Endangered Species Administration, and it's lines 23 and 24, and those are both global reductions. You can see the penny plan cut $20,000, the professional services cut $2,900. And then the final division in piece of the governor's budget is baseline scientific assessment, and those are notes number 25 and 26. And again, those are both global reductions. The 25 is the penny plan. 26 are the professional service reductions. So overall, you can see on the governor's budget on page 1 of your summary that the governor's revised recs were $39.4 million. We reduced by $3 million, and the budget bill has $36.4 million in the governor's and the governor's office, agency one, has three footnotes that we talked about. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I might as well go ahead and ask this question on this first division and see if I can get an answer from this. But I noticed that you've just gone through here and stated the governor's recommendations of the $39 million, and then with JAC's deductions, we're at $36.4 million. What I guess what my question is why do we not see anywhere where really the standard budget is to, which is the amount that enables an agency to continue to furnish the same level of services during the ensuing biennium, meaning that they can operate with that standard budget, which is really $33.9 million. So we're really adding $2.4 million to the standard budget. So I was just wondering why that wasn't shown so we could really compare how much we're adding to the standard budget. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And you could go back into the governor's budget, and really, let's think about what the standard budget is. And so the standard budget, say, for that we passed for 15-16 back 2 years ago from now. So during that time then, members of the legislature have passed legislation that costs money. So if you passed a bill last year in a general session that appropriated money, that then becomes biennialized, right? You had a program that cost $500,000 last year. Now, if that rolls forward into a permanent program, now it's $1 million in the budget, okay? Then also in the standard budget, you have items that were 1 year only. So those are pulled out. But the biggest mover of the standard budget is the pay raises we granted, health insurance, retirement benefits. And I did kind of the number on the whole. If you look at the 14 budget standard to the 16 budget standard, the overall, it's grown by about 3.5% a year. And that's about $200 million over the two-year cycle, about $100 million a year across the whole state budget. So for this particular agency, yeah, I could dig back and find that. But that's really the biggest driver of it, are salaries, retirement, health insurance, and any programs that we have passed, any new laws we pass, get doubled. Okay, so I know I didn't answer specifically to the governor's office, but globally I can tell you it's about $2.8 billion standard budget. It was about $2.6, and it's a little more than that on each of those, but it's grown by about $200 million. And that's just growth, basically inflation, growth of wages, salaries, and benefits, and legislation that we pass. So that's the overview of that. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a simple question to the Chairman of Appropriations. I'm looking at the JAC changes part of this front page, and I notice that under other funds, it totals $3.618 million, and I did catch that the LSRA was the million associated with natural resources. So my question is all of these reductions of other funds, is that LSRA in this particular budget? Or if not, maybe when we go through all of these, if it's not LSRA, make a note of that so we can keep track of what's LSRA and what other funds may be involved in other budgets.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, good Chairman of Revenue. I talked so long, I forgot this part, but really the first four pages of the budget are all definitions, and that's my fault. I should have mentioned that to you. If you start on page one, section one, these are all definitions, and it's an important part of the budget to look on page two. You can just go down all these. A4 means this. EF means this. FF, IS, PF, PR, P2, and so on. You can go across to the S funds. then the T1, T2, T3 on the bottom of page 3, and finally T4, T6, T7, T10. Now, here's what the good chairman of revenue, and I have it in my notes right here, and I failed to mention it, what S17 is. It's not in this. That is a new code we had to put for the LSRA. So when you see that, that was that first global motion to reduce all LSRA and move those to general funds. So that's a great question, and I had that in my notes, and I talked to Doug on Lana. I forgot to mention it. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to offer to any member of the body that I was one of those Appropriations Committee members who likes hard copy, and so I brought over all of my agency books. They are sitting right behind my desk, and you can see the standard the base budgets and standard budgets and all the exception requests. You're more than welcome to borrow my hard copies.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a question that actually transcends this budget and talks to a bigger part of the budget. Is carryover and carryover funds? What those carryover funds always talk about is the total that was appropriated maybe in a previous budget. And my question is they're included in this budget, but we don't actually know the actual dollar amount. Is that a correct statement, or is the dollar amount that's on here the actual dollar amount that's being carried forward? It seems like that would be tough to do since we're not at the end of the biennium yet. But if I could have that question answered. And then the second question, if you would clarify your statement about the 2.5% on the assigned vehicles. I didn't quite understand if that was a reduction that was no longer being charged by the agency responsible for it, or if that was actually, they would absorb it in A&I or in number 6, or if that's each agency is going to basically not be allowed to have that level of funding. Or not be able to repay that level of funding. It's kind of a strange thing where one agency is paying another agency for services. So I just like that clarified too. And the reason I'm interested in that is because in some other footnotes, including Agency 6, we talk about the mileage set for replacement at 120,000 miles. So I'm trying to balance those two things. One being the value or the maintenance, and two being the mileage for replacement. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't probably take as good a notes on my question, so I'm going to try to work backwards. If you go to Agency 6, which we'll explain this afternoon, a current kind of replacement standard for vehicles is at 100,000 miles. Well, we simply just moved that out to 120,000. And, you know, that's just what we do. I don't know that we had any big scientific study. We figured, you know, I'm driving down there, my little car has 184,000. And we just thought, you know, we could probably push those out. And really, they get traded when they're getting close to 100. It's not 100 and then it automatically. Some are at 90, some are at 110. But we wanted to move that out a little bit. And we thought that we could do that and save a little bit of money. Then backing up to the next question on the charge for permanently assigned vehicles, the answer is really both. So the agencies will have less to pay Agency 6, which then reduces the budget. And you can see the total, it's only a couple $100,000. But, you know, we had a lot of these issues from whether it was installing the GPS units that are under a broad authority to run the efficient motor pool. That's $500,000 was spent. Why we're back doing our real jobs. And so all these things, you know, it's all part of this. There's a lot of broad statutory language that we've granted the executive and Agency 6 to kind of run this motor pool and do those things. Well, we pulled back a little bit on a couple of these issues to save a little money. I talked about hard copies of the budget. I have all my hard copies. I thought of that representative from Albany County. I haven't even opened them once. They're still on my desk. I'll bring those over. I know we have a set here, and the clerk has a set of hard copies. About half the committee does this electronically with all of it on SharePoint and takes our notes on annotate. And then the other part of the committee has the flipping pages in the budget. But so we have those. There was another question, I think. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other question was regarding the carryover appropriations, such as on line 7 of the Section 1 Officer of the Governor, where there's this allowance of monies that were appropriated in a previous budget, how they they're rolled over into the current, into this proposed budget, and how that is actually working. That's the total. What I'm looking at, that looks like the total that was previously appropriated, not what's actually remaining on balance. These are not cash on hand. These are actually, I would say, anticipated revenue type appropriations. And so I just wondered, when do we get the number that's actually available and carried forward? It seems like it would have to be at the end of the biennium, but how do we actually evaluate this at this point? Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we can always get kind of the up-to-date, up-to-the-day information off the Wolf's accounting system, but you're exactly right. Most of these say up to this amount or of this amount, it shall, and it's a moving balance. And at the end, instead of reverting back to the general fund, coming back through the whole agency process, it immediately stays in the agency for that purpose. So we don't know the exact number. We say up to or of this amount covers that. And we'll know that basically after July 1st. But we can, I mean, if you have a specific question on it, on an agency, you could ask us that, and we could get staff to look on the Wolf's and find out what today's balance is. Okay? You know, and the good representative from Campbell County that just asked that question, he brought up another point to me this morning, which I think is a good question. You know, it's like all of us. We finish something, and we leave, and we think, God, I should have asked that. And so once we vote to close Agency 1, obviously it's not – you know, it's just general file. You're going to have a bite at this apple on second reading and third reading. But if you have questions that you think, God, I should have asked that question, I think maybe let's just email. I'm thinking of a repository if you have questions. How about our staff? Can I say the name? It's D-A-W-N. We have two Dons that kind of lead our staff. But let's go, and she's probably down in the Senate thanking me right now. She maybe hears this. But if you could email either D-O-N or D-A-W-N, like if you have questions about Agency 1, and we'll get those to you. And you could email me, too. I'll figure it out. I'm just not as organized as those two. But so when we vote to close in later days, I should have asked that question about the governor's office. Just email us, and we'll dig it out for you. And that was representative from Campbell County's idea, which I think is a good idea. So, did I answer everybody's question, Chairman?
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions. One's on Governor's Letter 19, and on Appendix G, where it shows that $500,000. I don't know if there should be another line there for maybe what was profiled in January. But looking at Appendix G, it looks like that money's still in there. But then if you go to the big profile sheet there on number 8, it shows that that letter was denied. So I see that that $500,000 is not in there no more. So I guess that changes the bottom line in the December profile. And then again on number 19, the footnote number 2, the Lifesaver program, I guess that's a good spot to probably try and show where legislation was passed recently by a large number of members of this body and members of the other body, and even during that process was reduced from $250,000 down to $125,000, and now it's reduced further down to $75,000. So when you see a statute in a footnote, and it also goes on to say that we'll not be part of the 2019-20 standard budget. Basically, what they're doing is they're getting rid of a program. Now, the large counties have these grants. This is a grant program. They're just getting done with the rules, getting these grants out to some of you smaller counties. So I think that's something you need to watch for. It's furthered in the budget. You'll see it in state parks where they're getting rid of humanities grants. So I think those are things that we need to talk about. But right now we're in the governor's budget. So basically, Mr. Chairman, my two questions are about governor's letter number 19 and then footnote number 2.
Chairman Harshman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Talking first about the Lifesaver program, we reduced that from in Homeland Security from the 125 to 75 because it matched the expenditure rate. And so we got an update what actually had been used and sent out as grants, and it seemed like there was extra, in the testimony we had, there was extra money sitting there. And so we reduced that to match expenditures. And so that's my answer on that. And then why to not come back in the budget? We just say, hey, Homeland Security, you can figure that out in your agency. And that's how we did that. And I'm sure we'll have amendments and can discuss that more. But that was our reasoning behind that. Regarding the $500,000, the amount in the profile, in December profile, the governor had that. Now, I'll just say what this chart on G shows is what the governor actually had in his profile in December, and then these things on to the right were not in the profile. These came later, form a governor's letter. So that was in his profile, and he didn't really have it in his budget, though. There were several items that were in kind of his introductory summary sheet, but were actually not in the budget. And he came back in with these governor's letters to add that, and we denied that. So that was our action on the energy strategy on governor's letter 19.
Representative Clem, any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 1 is passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope everybody's revved up now on the budget process. I would like us to move the House into recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion passes. We are recessed. Oh, committee announcements. Pardon me. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 10, Labor, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment today, where we will hear House Bill 54, House Bill 76, House Bill 138.
Chairman Zawana Terdan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corp Elections and Political Subdivisions, will meet in L51 in about 5 minutes. We're scheduled to hear 5 bills, including yours, Mr. Chairman, but I don't think we're going to get to it. But we will get through House Bill 20, 21, 95, and 79 if time.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Agriculture Committee number 5 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room H36. Consider 3 bills. House Bill 104, Food Freedom Cooked Meat Products. House Bill 117, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding, and House Bill 97, Wolf Depredation Compensation.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment to hear 2 bills, House Bill 105, the ABLE Act, and House Bill 118, Foster Care, both of them 10 minutes after adjournment. Thank you.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet in 5 minutes in room H38 to take up House Bill 81, Drug Court Surcharge, House Bill 86, Unlawful Dissemination of an Intimate Image, and, that's the wrong order. 81 is first, 86 is second, Wyoming Repeal Gun-Free Zones Act, and House Bill 69, is the one I just mentioned. That's the third one. House Bill 43 has been moved to noon tomorrow. And Mr. Chairman, tomorrow at noon we'll also meet to take up House Bill 130, Juvenile Detention House Bill 137, Controlled Substances, and House Bill 43, Concealed Weapons.
Majority Whip Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 12 Rules will be meeting tomorrow afternoon, February 16th, upon adjournment in Room L51 to discuss House Bill 30, Obsolete Laws, House Bill 29, Revisers Laws, House Bill 27, Legislative Oversight, and House Bill 50, which is Appropriation for the Legislature.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will meet in 5 minutes upon noon recess to hear two referred bills, House Bill 51, Local Government Distributions, and House Bill 123, State-Funded Capital Construction. And then we have a couple re-referred bills and any other re-referred bills. Thank you.
Chairman Petroff? Nope. Seeing no further committee announcement, we're recessed until 2 p.m.